There's actually Hindu temples where the yoga poses, a lot of the yoga poses that we see, it illustrates these gods on these temples. And guess what positions they're in? The yoga positions.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Dawn, and I have Angela Scafidi here with me today. And we, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I literally cannot wait for this conversation. We don't have a game plan. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead. As you guys know by the title of this podcast, you can probably assume what we're about to dive into. But Angela, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself before we hop in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, Brittany. This is definitely a divine appointment. Been following your stuff for a while. Found you through our mutual friend, Mike Signorelli. And I just love all the content that you put out there. I love your heart for the Lord. And above all, I love your faith. Your faith is just absolutely beautiful. And I know that a lot of people actually find it offensive, but I pray that anyone that has that spirit of offense, that the Lord would deliver them from that and that they would actually just pursue that same bold faith that you have. Because I have found in my experience, we see it in the Bible time and time again, that the Lord responds to faith with his faithfulness. And that's really just been the biggest testimony in my own life. I've seen that happen over and over and over. And you know, the truth is that we all have faith in something. It's just that a lot of us have a displaced faith, even Christians, unfortunately, but that's kind of where I came from, was a displaced faith. I always believed in God my whole life. I knew there was a creator. I just didn't know that I could have a relationship with him. I didn't know that he cared about me. I always heard that, you know, Jesus died for my sins growing up in kind of a Catholic environment. But I never knew why. I didn't know that he loved me. I just had this backdrop of God growing up, but I never had any relationship with him, just kind of a knowledge without a knowing, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I tend to ramble, so feel free to cut me off at any point, just for the record.
You are great. Keep going.
So not sure how much you want me to get into my testimony. I try and make it as short as I can. But
yeah,
I did grow up kind of with that Catholic upbringing, as I mentioned. It was very loose. It was like a loose guise of Catholicism, nothing that was ever taken too seriously, but it was there. And never really meant anything to me, as I mentioned. And so as I got older, I just got more and more curious about the spirit realm, particularly in 2014 when I suffered the loss of my grandmother. She was like my best friend in the world. She and my mom essentially co-parented me growing up because my mom was a single mom. I was an only child. And so she really needed help. So grandma just stepped in to fulfill that role. I basically had two mothers, and wow, grandma was like my best friend. I mean, an idol, honestly, if we're looking back. She was everything to me. I worshiped that woman. And we were on actually a cruise in the middle of the ocean when we got the call that she had died. It was very unexpected. She had sepsis, and it was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. And I'm pretty confident to say that it's the worst thing I think that could ever happen to me in this life, because I didn't know God. You know, if something happened now that was tragic, at least I would have Jesus now, which, you know, he's our defender and he's our strength and he's close to the brokenhearted. But I didn't have him then. All I had to rely on was my own strength, which was never sufficient even before that, because I was always depressed. I was always anxious. I suffered with like a buffet of mental illness. And when she died, I became desperate. I just wanted to talk to her again. I was seeking, you know, I was looking for Jesus. I just didn't know it. And so what I started to do was go to mediums. And the mediums, I mean, the first one we went to, she knew everything. Like, she knew things that she had no business knowing. And it was from that point on, I was just hooked. And I say all the time that the New Age is like, it's like the devil handing you like a chain here and a chain there. It's just like link after link until you're just wrapped in this chain and you don't even know it. because that's the nature of deception, is you don't realize you're being deceived. And it was just a sliding board from that point forward. I got involved with the mediums. That made me want to pursue my own quote unquote psychic abilities. So I started to read all these books about basically enhancing my spiritual skill set, which led to chakra work, which led to crystals and crystal healing and knowing all their properties and how I can use them. And, you know, this little crystal table that I had that was like a couple $100 of crystals over the years grew to this altar of thousands of dollars worth of crystals. And
wow,
I knew all of the things about every single one, what they could all do, how they were supposed to heal this chakra and that chakra, this wound and that wound, and, you know, channel from this dimension and that dimension and these deities and that deities and heal this trauma and clear this energy. Like, I knew all of the things. The crystals led to the chakra work, as I just mentioned. The chakra work led to just, you know, energy by and large, just the study of energy, which led to Reiki, which is the counterfeit of laying on hands that we see in the Bible. That led to yoga. You know, yoga was like a vice for me in a lot of ways. I always say it's a spiritual narcotic because I was addicted to it the same way I was addicted to smoking weed. Of course, I would never say that, but that's essentially what it was. And as I just mentioned, yoga is a spiritual narcotic. I say that all the time. It became something that I literally could not get through the day without. If I skipped even one session of that yoga practice, I was a mess. It was like the only thing holding my head above water in a lot of ways. And all the while, I think I'm like ascending. I think I'm climbing the ladder of enlightenment. I think I'm healing all this trauma, clearing all this energy, and just becoming the quote highest version of myself, you know, by aligning with the universe, all this new age jargon. But that's what I really thought I was doing. And now I know that I was actually using my body as a literal antenna for demon worship. And we can talk more about that soon. But, you know, the yoga was the best of both worlds for me because at the time, and Brittany, this is actually something else we have in common, because I had an idol of fitness, because when my grandma died a year later, I decided I was going to lose a bunch of weight. I lost 120 pounds in 2015.
Wow.
I kept that off since. But what that did was it opened all these doors that I didn't realize were being open of, you know, vanity and lust and greed. Like, I had all this attention for the first time in my life, and I really misused it. I was not a good woman. I was not a faithful woman. I was not a good person. I was really wicked and depraved, as we all are in some form before knowing the Lord. And then he washes us clean and makes us a new creation, thank God. But that, you know, journey with fitness, and I feel like a lot of people don't talk about this, that journey with fitness opened up a lot of demonic doorways for me. But yeah, yoga was a way for me to marry both worlds. It was the physical and the spiritual at once. So I was just, I was hooked. And the yoga led to actually me becoming a yoga teacher, because I was like, wow, this is so great. I want to help other people. I always had good intentions, as honestly, a lot of people in New Age do, because the thing about New Agers is that they're all searching. They're all looking for truth. And then they call it my truth, quote unquote. But of course, like,
the only truth is Jesus.
The only truth is one truth, because that's the definition of truth, right? But exactly right. What you just said, the only truth is Jesus. There's no my truth or your truth. There's just the truth, and it's him. But that's what all New Agers are looking for. And they don't have bad intentions. And a lot of them think they know God. Like, I thought I knew God. As I mentioned, I grew up always knowing there was a God. And I thought he was in the yoga practice with me. I thought he was in the crystals with me. I thought that he was in the Reiki with me. And it was just one thing after another. The yoga led me to astrology, you know, which was really my niche. Because the thing is, you know, all these New Age things, they don't work long term. They just work short term. And so you need more of them. It's like you never get your fix.
As my husband says, he always says it's a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
Yeah, that's
It really is. It's a short-term fix.
Absolutely. And, you know, none of it sustained me. And all New Agers are spiritually starving. They're spiritually thirsty because they're looking for the daily bread and the living water.
Yeah.
And what they keep doing is drinking from basically an empty well. And so astrology for me became kind of the answer as to why, oh, these things aren't working because, well, look at my birth chart. It explains it all here. That's perfect. Great. So I finally had like a reason for my suffering. Like, why am I always depressed? Why am I always anxious? Why is it no matter what I do, like these things are always lingering? Oh, the birth chart explains it. So I could make sense of it now. So it was just a way for me to justify basically why I was so miserable, which is so unfortunate and so heartbreaking. But what it also did was it justified all the worst parts of myself. Aside from the depression and the anxiety, it also justified the aforementioned things like the lust and the vanity. It's like, oh, my moon is in Aries. That's why I just want attention from all these men and why I'm like unfaithful. That explains, like, it had a reason to basically validate the sins.
And keep you in it.
And keep you in it. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's true bondage. But astrology was my favorite. I was obsessed. I actually started a podcast for astrology where I would do weekly or biweekly, rather, new moon and full moon reports. So I was like a self-healing forecast, basically. I would break down where the moon was, what the sun was doing, what all the correlating planets were doing. And I would just explain to the audience basically how they can use the moon and use the cycles of the zodiac to help themselves heal. That was my slogan, was we're walking each other home on the self-healing journey, which is really we're walking each other down the broad road of destruction going to hell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a really condensed version. We're talking like 2014 to 2021 when I actually did get saved late December of that year. I first called out to Jesus in September of 2021 because I just had gotten to the end of myself and I didn't know why. I had no idea why all these things weren't working. Why wasn't the yoga working? Why weren't the crystals working? I was doing these moon circles, like trying to release energy every full moon and trying to settle these intentions every new moon. I knew all the cycles. I knew my birth chart. I knew what was going on astrologically. I was having the Reiki sessions. I was pulling the tarot cards. I was doing the crystals. I had the sage. Like, I was doing all of the right things. I was doing the work, as we used to say. I was doing the work. I was putting it in. I was doing the shadow work and the inner child healing, like all of the things. And I was still as miserable as I was in 2014 or in 2010 or in 2009 when I was cutting myself as a teenager. Here I am, 2021. It was March 2021 when I relapsed for the first time in 5 years and I cut myself. And I'm like an adult at that point. So what, like, something was just not right. And I really was ready to end it. Like, I wanted to die. And I don't know why I knew to call out to Jesus. Well, I didn't know why. I know now that it's because he's my creator.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what that was, why I just was, Jesus, save me. Like, those were my words. Jesus, save me. And then overnight, I was delivered from depression. And I knew I had my hands on something different because it was gone. It was just gone inexplicably. And the only thing that I had done aside from everything else was say Jesus's name, but just ask him for help. So what I thought I could do was just use him kind of like as a new age tool in the arsenal of supplies that I already had. So for 3 months, I just was like a new age Christian, which isn't a thing. But I thought maybe I can, like, you know, incorporate the Bible with astrology sort of thing. I was trying really hard to hold on. And the more I read the Bible, I got convicted by Isaiah 47, where talks about how the astrologers will essentially, God's basically saying to the Babylonians, like, go ahead and consult your astrologers. They can't save you because they're going to burn in their own fire. And that's a paraphrase. But when I read that, it was the first time I recognized I was a sinner. I felt the Holy Spirit just flood me from literally head to toe. And it was just like this holy sorrow of, oh my goodness, what have I done? What have I been doing? I need to stop immediately. And I went live on my old podcast for the last time. And I told the audience, I was like, I'm not doing any of this anymore. I don't want to do yoga. I don't want to do the crystals. I don't want to do the yoga. I don't want to do the tarot. I think I said yoga twice, but it's worth noting. Yeah, I don't want to do astrology. I don't want to do any of it anymore. I'm done. And you know, before I even had the backdrop of Acts 19, where they burn everything, where they burn like thousands I'm actually pretty sure the translation for modern day was like millions of dollars actually worth of basically occult paraphernalia that they had. I didn't even know that. And I went and I burned all my stuff. Like I burnt all of it, all my old journals, all the old books, all the tarot cards, all the decorations that I had, and got rid of all the crystals. Like I just got rid of it all. And then I gave my life to the Lord. So that was late December 2021, and I started my new podcast, Heaven and Healing Podcast, in February of 2022, where I've just been on a mission to expose the darkness of the New Age, but more importantly, share the light of Jesus Christ and, you know, give the gospel to all the nations. Because, you know, as much of a curse the internet is in a lot of ways, it's also, you know, what the enemy may have meant for harm, God uses for good. And the internet is such a great way for us to reach so many people and tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. And that's what I've been on fire for since. He's completely changed my life. He, you know, he saved my now husband, who was then my fiance, and has seen me through every stage of life. Like, we've known each other since high school. He got saved. The Lord made him and turned him from an agnostic to a disciple. We got married, and we just had our first baby, January 21st. And she is like the epitome of our testimonies.
Wow.
Just in the flesh. And so it's just been such a blessing. Like, the Lord is so good. And like I said, he responds to our faith with his faithfulness. And so praise God.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. That is a lot to unpack. And praise God. Like, he is so faithful to never stop pursuing us, no matter how far we run. And there's, I'm trying to think, Holy Spirit, which avenue I want to go down, because there are a lot of different paths we could take this. The two that really stuck out to me was where you said you can't be a New Age Christian. Doesn't exist. I feel like there's a lot of people that are fighting that. They are trying so hard to fit in with the world and to also follow God. And because it's not popular, right? Like, it's not common to stand up and say, actually, all of those are demonic. All of those, that's witchcraft. And also go to church. You can't have both. And so I would love if you could maybe speak to that. I think that I see it every day. I talk about this a lot. I always get pushback. I mean, always. And then we can go into yoga here in a little bit, because yoga is a big one. Yoga is probably undoubtedly the hardest one for me to convince people of, you know, because it's just a workout. When I'm like, actually, there's a lot of intention behind the poses that you're doing. And I specifically remember there was one time where I wasn't a yogi by any means. I went here and there, like when I was living in Dallas, and it was just a trendy thing to do. And there was one time specifically, I remember I went with my sister and we were just going to get a little yoga workout in and then go to lunch. And we were the only two in that class. So it wasn't a private lesson, but it ended up being that because not everyone came. And she had sage burning, and she was pacing in the yoga studio as we were following her instructions. And I'll never forget, this was pre-Jesus, before I was living for the Lord. I left that studio feeling something, and it wasn't good. Like, I felt anxious. I felt uptight. I felt overwhelmed. If I remember correctly, I actually had a demonic dream that night. And I was like, well, that's weird. I don't know where that came from. It was just the wildest. And now looking back at that, I can see it for what it is. I'm like, oh, you were opening yourself up to that. And, you know, younger Brittany didn't know any better because that's what everyone was doing. But yeah, I would just love if you could maybe speak, I guess now that we're on the yoga topic, we'll go that direction. Maybe speak to why yoga is not a good idea for Christians. Not even just not a good idea, why it's demonic, if we're being honest here. And because I know for a fact there's a lot of people that follow and listen to this podcast that are either in the fitness industry, or they were and they're coming out of it, or vice versa. And they probably have a lot of questions, and maybe the conviction hasn't quite hit them yet. But just like you said, this is a beautiful opportunity to share the truth with them.
Yeah. I think I can actually answer both questions at once, because if you're claiming Christ but practicing yoga is no different if you're claiming Christ and participating in any of the New Age practices. So they go hand in hand, because, you know, New Age is just a blanket term. It's I always say it's like, if you think of an umbrella, like under the umbrella, it's like all of the things. It's Buddhism, it's Hinduism, it's Taoism. It's all of the things. Like, it's not just one specific thing. It's just the blanket term that we use. But essentially what New Age is contingent on is like relativism, which essentially comes back to that there is no truth that we already talked about a little bit. There's only my truth and your truth. Now, if you're claiming Christ, how can those two things exist at once? How can there be no truth, but also you say that Christ is the truth?
Yeah.
And Brittany, as you were talking, I thought of the scripture where God says, you know, first of all, if you love him, you will keep his commandments, and it won't be burdensome. So when we talk about these things and encourage you to lay it at the foot of the cross and to give it up, it shouldn't be like a burden. It should be because you love him. And that goes hand in hand with the scripture where it says, if you love the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in you. And so we really see that the willingness to abstain from these sorts of things is contingent on loving him and knowing his love. And so the first thing that I would say, because it's the most important, is I want you to understand how much Jesus loves you, how much God the Father loves you, that he sent Christ to die for you on that cross. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, right? Yeah. Despite it not being the biblical date of Passover, every day is a day to celebrate the resurrection. And what he did on the cross, the finished work on the cross, that was for you. Whoever this is watching or listening, it was for you. He knows you by name. He knit you in your mother's womb. He knows every hair on your head. He died to restore you back to himself, to reconcile you back to his image and likeness, so that you could be in his presence forever, because he delights in you and he loves you. He just truly loves you. There is only one you. He made just one you. There's not another one. If he can't have you, he can never have you. That's the point. You're the only one. He wants you. He's after your heart. He will abandon the 99 to just chase after you. That is how important you are to the Lord. Even while you were unworthy, even when you were a sinner, he wants you. He loves you. He's unconditional. And so you really got to get that to know exactly what it's worth to give all this other stuff up, because that love is priceless. And we sell out for all this other junk, all these other idols, all these other little g gods, all these other religions, because that's what yoga is, by the way. It's a religion. Yeah. We sell out for all this other stuff when the truth is we have already been purchased by the only one who could pay off the debt that we owed. So it's not worth it, because he loves you so much. Okay, so I don't know. That was the Holy Spirit. I didn't plan to say that.
I wasn't even about to interrupt that. That was beautiful. Wow.
Now, like, getting into... Because the thing is, Brittany, I heard you say, you know, you can't convince anyone. I've found that too. And I've really come to just realize you're not going to.
Yeah.
You're not going to convince anyone of this. I can
sit here. Job.
Right. I can sit here and lay out all the facts. I can tell you where yoga came from, what all intents and purposes it is, you know, why your intentions don't matter because of the curation, the definition, the design, all of it, the history, everything. I can explain this until I'm blue in the face, but I can't convince you, because it has to come. Your willingness comes from a revelation of his love, right?
Yeah.
So you need to get into the prayer closet. You need to seek his face, and you just need to thank him for how much he loves you and let his love wash over you.
Yeah.
Because then these things won't seem far-fetched. They won't seem burdensome. They won't seem crazy. You know, he tells us to pick up our cross and follow him, to die to ourselves. That means dying to our desires. And so I feel I can really speak to, if there's anyone who maybe does love fitness and does yoga as a part of their fitness practice, maybe it's not like this crazy spiritual thing. Well, you need to consider, if you're thinking to yourself, well, if I give up yoga, is my body going to change? Because I know how fit I was when I did yoga. I remember. Okay, I know what it does to your physical body, but if that's what you are exalting above your relationship with God, that's an idol.
Yeah.
And that's demonic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is bondage. That is a stronghold. You need to let that go because these bodies are going to pass away. It doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of it. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is more important than the temple, right? So foster your relationship with the Holy Spirit first. And I promise you that he's going to tell you to stop communing with, to stop yoking with any spirit outside of him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is what yoga is. Yoga means to yoke. So it's a union. A union with what? Because the Holy Spirit, there's only one way to get him. And it's not through the yoga practice.
Yeah.
It's through the finished work on the cross. It's through being saved by grace, through faith, through that baptism, when you receive the Holy Spirit. That is how you have access to his spirit when he makes you a new creation alive unto him. You don't join with the yoga, or I'm sorry, you don't join with the Holy Spirit through the yoga practice. He's not there. And he's especially not there because of where it comes from. Yoga is Hindu. You cannot divorce this fact. You cannot divorce its history. You cannot divorce its roots. If the roots are pagan, the fruit cannot be Christ. Okay. Yeah. And the roots of yoga are intrinsically, factually, like through and through pagan.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, what we've done in the West is we've commercialized yoga, we've whitewashed yoga. And if you really talk to, you know, I actually do have a lot of people from Eastern cultures that they see my stuff, they comment on my stuff, and they get rightfully, you know, because I'm stepping on their golden calf, I'm stepping on their idol. They get rightfully defensive and say, like, don't call my practice demonic. But then in the next breath, they say, we don't want you Christians doing this anyway. This doesn't belong to you.
Wow.
So even they will say, you have no right to practice this. You can't just throw on your Lululemons and then go out for your kale smoothie after, as like, it's, that's not what yoga is. That's just what we have turned it into in America, because that's just what our, that's just what our nation does. We're a consumerist nation, right?
Yep. Well, we do what's trendy too. Like this society, like they see a girl that they look up to or on social media or on Pinterest that has like you just said, that aesthetic, the green smoothie, the cute car, the cute outfit, the yoga. And suddenly they don't even know why they're doing it. They're just doing it.
Yeah.
And they're unknowingly opening all these doors. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off.
No,
you're good. Like I said, I tend to ramble, so I appreciate it.
You're good.
Sometimes I need some direction.
No, this is incredible. This is, wow, fire.
Good. I'm glad. I pray that it would bless someone, and really, I pray that anyone hearing this would have the ears to hear it, because I know it's not easy. You know, I remember when I first heard that yoga was demonic, I was like, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. And this is after I had that experience with Christ where he did deliver me overnight from depression. I thought it was the silliest thing that I've ever heard, because again, I had that mindset, like, first of all, I'm just stretching. Second of all, I know what I'm channeling in my yoga practice, right? It comes back to what the Bible says, like leaning on your own understanding. I was going based off my experience in the yoga practice, like, oh, it's light and love. But if I'm really being honest, it wasn't always light and love, because I had experienced many times what you said, that like dread, that overwhelm, that anxiousness, even after the practice. And I'm like, well, you know, you always chalk it up to something. That's what you do in the New Age. It's justification after justification as to why things aren't really working the way that they're, quote, supposed to. It's because, well, there's actually more work to do. So if I was ever left off worse than I had been found when I had a yoga session, I always justified it with, well, I guess, you know, there's just more energy to clear out. There's something I'm blocking. There's X, Y, all these things. You know, it's never...
That's so exhausting.
It's exhausting. New Age is exhausting.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that the belief behind it was that you had to continually do work to get to the next level of whatever you're trying to accomplish, right?
Yeah.
And like, to know that as Christians, we can just sit and be in the presence of our living Father, our holy God, Abba Father. Like, we literally can just sit in his presence, and that's that. And he does all the heavy lifting. Like, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And to think that there's so many Christians that are walking around right now with that constant burden of like, oh, well, I'm feeling this because I need to do more work. Like, that actually breaks my heart, yeah. Like, hearing that.
Amen. It's so true. You know, that is like the biggest thing with New Age is it's about, you know, basically you have to climb a ladder, so to speak, to reach God. And Christianity is that Jesus came here to reach you, like right where you were. And it just makes me so emotional because I really is exhausting. Like, whenever I reflect back on that time in my life, it's just one thing after another. It's like I said, all these justifications and reasonings, and then more work to do, more things to do, checking off all these boxes. And then I think about what my life looks like now, and it's that. It's like, yeah, is there a discipline between with prioritizing my time with God? Absolutely. But it's not like, it's not in my own strength kind of thing anymore. It's just, I just actually have to humble myself enough to go sit with him for an hour. Yeah. Whereas before, I had to try and reach him through the crystals and the Reiki and all these things. And I was never reaching him at all. I was reaching demons. And New Age itself, really, like the ideologies, the framework of the beliefs, it's a house of cards, because it's an interesting paradox where a lot of the structure of the beliefs say, okay, you're perfect, whole, and complete, right? You are one with the universe. You know, you are the one that you're looking for. You're all you'll ever need, like all these things. But then at the same time, it is all that work, right? So it's like, yeah, you're perfect, whole, and complete, and yet you have to constantly strive for and atone for all of the perfect, whole, and completeness that you supposedly already are. So it just, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're either perfect, whole, and complete, or you're not. So if we're perfect, whole, and complete, why all the rituals every day? Why do I have to clear all the energy all the time? Why do I have to do so much shadow work? Why this? Why that? It's because it's a lie. It's a deception. But when you really start to break it down this way, you see that the structure is a house of cards. And it just, when you breathe on it in this way, when you say, well, you're either one or the other, it just, it collapses. It doesn't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is Christ. So, yeah, I my heart breaks for people that are stuck in that. And as far as the yoga thing goes, just kind of continuing from that point, it's a spiritual narcotic. Like, I say that all the time. You get addicted to it. And I know people listening, maybe right now, like, maybe you feel that resistance coming up. Like, I don't want to give this up. And I want you to consider that that might not be you. It could be. It could be that it's a stronghold, but that could be actually the spirits you have yoked yourself to. Because you have given them permission. You have given them access to join. That's what yoke is, to join you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what your intentions are, okay? That saying, the road to hell is paved in good intentions, applies here. Mm-hmm. Your intentions are irrelevant, okay? You can't divorce what it is. That's the bottom line. It comes from ancient Hindu philosophy, and the kind of mythology behind the yoga practice is that, so Brahman released his seven sages, or his seven sons. So the son of a god, interesting, the son of a god, right, to teach yoga to their people in order for the people to spiritually enlighten. So that's the mythology behind it. And, you know, it's probably true. I mean, we know that fallen angels came to teach humanity things. So, yeah.
And that's a whole wide indeed. Topic in itself. When I dove into that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
it really is. And it just opens a whole nother realm spiritually. Right. But yeah, sorry, keep going.
No, but you make a great point, because that's the thing, is that we are living in a spiritual realm, right?
Yes.
We're in the physical, yes. But I say that the supernatural cause produces a natural effect. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, there's some things you can't divorce, and that's one of them. The truth is we are spiritual beings in a natural reality. And so you can't just be like, well, it's not really a spiritual thing for me. It doesn't matter. Like, the devil doesn't care what it is for you. He cares what it is for him, which for him is an access point. Because even if you worship God, right? Even if you say, like, I love Jesus, I go to church every Sunday, the devil doesn't care if you go to church on Sunday morning, as long as you're going to your Monday night yoga class. Like, he doesn't care. And the word says, you shall have no other gods before me. Why would it say that if there weren't other little g gods that you could actually worship or yoke with or exalt above him? Why would he say that if they didn't exist? They exist. And in the Hindu culture, it's believed that there are 33 million of those little g gods and goddesses. So you think you are yoking the Holy Spirit when you do the yoga practice, or you think you're just stretching, whatever you think, do you really believe you are more intelligent than a demon? Because if you do, you're fooling yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And there's power in the name of Jesus, but you can't just, before every yoga practice, be like, oh, but in the name of Jesus, I give permission to no demon to come into my life through this modality. That's not how it works. Yeah, he's not a genie. He's not an incantation. That would be like, okay, well, I'm going to use a Ouija board to talk to the Apostle Paul. Like, you can't do it. You're going to bring a demon in that way. Yeah. And I always say that the yoga practice is, you're making your body a Ouija board. Like, it's like the game Twister. It's like Ouija Twister, because you might be saying with your mind, it's just like what Jesus says to the Pharisees. Like, they, you know, they say with their mouths that they're for me, but their hearts are far from me. It's the same thing with yoga. You can say all you want that you love Jesus, that you worship Jesus. You can even pray. You can even go to church. Like we just said, you could read your Bible. You can do all these things. But then you go to yoga and you're saying with your body, my heart's far from you, Jesus, because I'm doing something that's antithetical to your commands and to your word. You're actually saying, you know, I profess Jesus, but my body right now, I agree with you, Satan. Like, that is what you're doing in the yoga practice. And I know it sounds dramatic because I was there. And no one convinced me of it. It had to come from the Holy Spirit himself. And so where do we see this in the Bible? It doesn't say, you know, I'm just rattling off all the things, all the common contentions that I hear.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. Where do we see in the Bible that you can't do yoga, that you can't stretch? That's so stupid. Like, you can stretch. Let's not be, you know, let's not make something, this into something it's not. Of course you can stretch your body. It's completely different. Yoga itself, to pursue the yoga practice, you're moving through the series of flows and through the series of asanas. These poses, a lot of them, which are unnatural, by the way, because if you even compare, for instance, the warrior pose, which I'm not going to do, but if you've seen it, you know what it is. The warrior pose is a form of a lunge, but it's actually very different from just a normal lunge. If you're just doing a normal lunge, right, just to do one. The warrior pose itself, you have to contort your body in such a way, move your hips in such a way that it doesn't feel right. Like, it feels weird.
Yeah.
So this is the thing about most of the yoga poses themselves is, while some of them are just simple stretches, great. But when you put them together with these other things, when you put them in the forms of these asanas, these salutations, it becomes something else. It's not just a stretch. It uses stretching as a physical modality to perform witchcraft. So don't get it misunderstood. No one's sitting here saying you can never stretch again. That is a really immature take to get from this. You got to really hear what we're saying. So when you're pursuing the yoga practice itself, you are pursuing what it is just intrinsically to its core, which is pagan worship. Like, that's what I was saying. The asanas and the poses, these things were, a lot of them were curated. You can look this up, by the way. Google, very helpful. A lot of the poses were made actually to pay homage to these deities. Like, actual forms, making your body into a golden calf for these pagan gods, to give homage to them. A lot of them, by the way, like Shiva, the destroyer, seems like a nice guy, right? Kali, like she's like a sex goddess and she eats the heads of men. So there's another interesting fun fact with the yoga practice. if you practice yoga, I want you to take some inventory on your, maybe your habits when it comes to men. You know, what has your past looked like, and or what does your current situation look like? Are you hypersexual? Are you lustful? Are you unfaithful? Do you have kind of this like Jezebelic nature where you kind of have to put yourself above men? Yeah, that comes from the demons in the yoga practice.
Wow.
That is Kali.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I, when I was in that season of life doing yoga, was also the season that I was sinning the most sexually.
Yes.
Just sleeping around, promiscuous, using men left and right. So that correlation, like I've actually never heard that before, but that would make so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually Hindu temples where the yoga poses, a lot of the yoga poses that we see, it illustrates these gods on these temples. And guess what positions they're in? The yoga positions. And it's wow. A temple where they would go to have orgies.
Wow.
Yoga practice is demonic. It is sexual. And you are opening yourself up to unclean spirits that the Holy Spirit will have nothing to do with. But you have your free will. He's not going to stop you, but I pray he will convict you to stop.
Yeah. And that's the thing is he's a gentleman. You know, people are like, well, if it's so demonic, why doesn't God just like make me not do it? I'm like, well, you do have free will, the same way that we have free will to choose him, to live right. For him, you know, to choose salvation and the kingdom. And yeah, I just time and time again, those are always it's always the same arguments. Well, like, I'm just stretching. It's really not that bad. God knows my heart.
Yeah.
God can bless anything. And I'm like, but he can't bless anything. Like, if you are choosing to walk a life separate from him, he can't bless that.
Right. He can't bless what is cursed.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh my God.
Yeah. And to that point, I love that you mentioned that, because I hear that all the time too. Like, God knows my heart. And yeah, that's true. Of course, God knows your heart. God knows everything about you. So God also knows what you're doing. He can see that yeah. You're trying to justify it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he can.
Yeah. He knows your heart. He sure does.
Yeah.
He knows that he's given you all the information you need to walk away, and he sees that you're not doing it. So that's definitely something to take into account. You know, honestly, there's a lot of recent studies even coming out. I've heard from professionals that, you know, people are like, but it's good for your body. It's actually really not. Like, the yoga practice really isn't good for your body. Contorting your body in those ways, stretching yourself out like that, it's not good for your fascia. Like, it's really actually not. So I used to say a lot that the yoga practice is not a physical practice with spiritual benefits. It's a spiritual practice with physical benefits.
Yeah.
But even that's not true entirely.
Wow.
I know a lot of people that have done yoga for years that have chronic back pain, neck problems, hip issues. Like, the reason, why do you think you need to keep coming back to it? It's because it's doing something to your body that only it can relieve, because it's the one that got you in that position in the first place.
Yeah. So. No, that's so good. And I noticed something that you said probably about a few minutes ago, when you said that if you're not wanting to give that up, if you're not wanting to lay it down at the feet of Jesus, it's probably the demons that you've yoked yourself with. So I'm curious, because I know with my story, I walked through waves of deliverance. When I first came to know the Lord, actually kind of similar to yours, I had my encounter late one night, and then the next morning I woke up, and it was just like the things that I was hungering for, the things that I was wrestling with, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, like everything had just in a moment was gone.
Mm.
And that's how I knew. I was like, Jesus is real. Like, I had known about him my whole life, right? Grew up in the church, but was like living a life completely separate from him, lukewarm, which is what the enemy wants.
Yep.
He wants us to live that lukewarm life, because the Bible tells us that he will spit the lukewarm out of his mouth. And I remember, like, just in that season of coming to realize, like, Jesus is real. But I also had to walk through all those waves of deliverance
right.
from different things, and sexual sin was one of those. So mm-hmm. I'm curious, with you saying that, did you walk through deliverance through yoga, because you were so deeply rooted in
it? Oh, yeah. So you never really know who you can talk about deliverance with and who you can't.
Girl, I got you. I'm all about it here.
Okay. Safe space. Yeah, so yes. I got saved, like I said, December 2021. And the first year of my walk, I'll just try and make this condense this part, but just important for some context. First year mm-hmm. of my walk, I was in love with Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I knew what he did for me. I knew what he saved me from. I knew that I was one way and then I was a different way. I knew all of these things. But what I also knew was I lost all my friends. Everyone around me thought that I was absolutely insane. My then fiance, who I told you now has saved now, but then, you know, he never cared about the Buddha heads on the wall. He never cared when I was doing my rituals every morning, burning sage, had all these crystals all over the house, and never cared. I came to Christ. Now I'm too much. I'm crazy. He doesn't want crosses on the wall. He doesn't want scripture on the wall. But like, again, Buddha was fine. The tapestries with the zodiac, that was all fine. My, you know, literally everyone thought I was insane. The only person that didn't, and I love what Holy Spirit always reminds me to bring this up, because I know that there's someone listening that knows someone like me. And this is so important. My best friend from when we were babies, she grew up Christian. She had been praying for me for a decade to get saved.
Wow.
So God heard her prayers. So I love to share that as a word of encouragement for anyone that you know who was like who I was. Keep praying. Her prayers protected me from things. There were like aspects of New Age, like astral projection. I could never do it. I could, no matter how much I tried. And I learned later that her prayers, she said there got to a point where she stopped praying, like, show her the truth, where she was just praying, God, protect her. And he did. In a lot of ways, he did. So pray for those people. I promise that the Lord hears. And in his timing, just, we know that by his word, it's not his will that any man should perish. So bank on that promise. Anyway.
I needed to hear that. There, not to interrupt you, but there, I actually was watching a video. It was an interview of a former witch, and she was talking about the power of prayer and people that intercede for others. And she said, I would, because she was a witch that would astral project. And she said, I would try to astral project into certain homes. And said there was one home specifically one night. She's like, I'll never forget this. I was trying to astral project into a kid's room, and I hit a wall. And she said, I just tried and I tried and I tried and I couldn't get through that wall. And what I saw from above, from which, and again, I've never done this, so I don't know if I'm using the right lingo here, but what she saw was the blood of Jesus. She said that around the child's bed was a pool of blood.
Come on.
And she said, that's how I could always tell their parents had prayed for them. And so that, like, and that is so encouraging to me, because there's people in my life who either they're the prodigal son, or they've walked away and they walked away, or they don't know Jesus at all, that literally every single day in my time with the Lord, I feel like I'm just on my face. And it can get very discouraging. Like when you wake up at midnight and you feel called to pray for them, and you start interceding and you're fasting and nothing is changing. So like hearing that your best friend prayed for you for 10 years, a decade, like that is powerful. And what a friend she must be now for you. Like that is, wow. I could tear up. I've never heard of that before. Like you hear about, you know, I prayed for someone here and there for a couple of years, but like, to be on your face, like praying for someone's salvation, for their soul. Like, wow, that's powerful.
Amen. You know, that's what I did for my fiance too. When he was my fiance, do not underestimate the power of prayer. Like I said, you know, the supernatural cause produces the natural effect. So just give it to God. Do not stop praying. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Wow. You telling that story, like shock waves of just like spirit chills all over my body. Amazing. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that.
I'll have to try to find that. I'll send it to you. It's so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yes. The first year. So in spite of all that, sorry. No, you're good. I this is dialogue. It's good. In light of all that, there were many aspects because I didn't have discipleship. I went to church, but I really wasn't under a covering, if that makes sense. I didn't really have anyone outside of my friend around me who was on this path. And so there were many aspects where I was lukewarm because I was trying to keep like me. You know, what's really interesting is I didn't know yet that the Bible says like you're a new creation, you die, like you actually die, you're buried and you resurrect as a new person. And I remember my husband, so his name's Mike. It's just easier to say Mike. So when Mike was my fiance, I remember him saying to me when he was so angry, he's like manifesting. He's like, who even are you anymore? Like, do you have hobbies? Do you have fun? Is there anything you want to do? Any, like you don't like music anymore. You don't like watching TV with me. Like you don't want to go out. You don't want to do anything. And That was actually like a great compliment, right? Because I was experiencing that death of self. Like I was actually just, yeah, I'm actually by the world standards, the most boring person now because I'm just obsessed with Jesus. Like that's literally my only interest.
Amen.
But
yeah,
hearing the person you love say that when you're such a baby Christian and you don't have a covering, that makes you want to cling to the world a little bit. And of course, that's what the devil was trying to do. So yeah, I was a little lukewarm in some ways. Like I still went back to marijuana, tried to justify my way through that. Never went back to the new age stuff. I was actually done with that. But there were some things like I would still struggle with was like marijuana, binge eating. And then the lust thing popped back up again, actually pretty close to my marriage. Imagine that. That's how the devil works. Whoa. Now, this is the time, a full year later. So January 2022, I finally got baptized. Y'all, if you haven't been baptized, stop making excuses. It's the devil that doesn't want you to get baptized. Okay. The baptism represents that it not even just represents, it is what happened when Christ died. Like when he went and conquered hell on that second day. That is what your baptism is. It's you letting the Holy Spirit conquer that darkness, conquer the hell. And so I didn't believe in deliverance. I kind of fell into like a cessationist doctrine when I got saved because I was afraid. I was watching all these YouTube videos like of other people that came out of New Age, and then they're saying like, oh, if you see this happen in church, stay far away. Basically anything that looked like quote unquote charismatic, stay away from it. It's New Age in the church, which is so funny because I always would say that the New Age is a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit this, counterfeit that. Okay, well then what about the authentic, right? So it's almost like I wasn't willing to acknowledge that there has to be an authentic, but the truth is I still had spirits and it was a religious spirit because if you're in New Age, you have a religious spirit. It was that religious spirit that came with me after I got saved because my spirit was sealed, but my soul and my body still in this world, still susceptible, right? We know that. I'm sure you know that. So those things were still there. Many of them were still there. Because I hadn't dealt with it. I hadn't really let God deal with it, you know? And so after I got baptized, it's like everything changed. It's like those spirits that were like kind of dormant, they got like washed and they got mad. And I had to consider like, God, am I wrong? Am I wrong about deliverance? Am I wrong about the gifts of the Spirit? I had to really humble myself before God once again and say, okay, I'm willing to just let you have this one. Like, I don't, because I found myself back in works, right? I'm trying to quit smoking weed because I know it's the right thing to do. Like trying in my own strength, throwing it out, going back to the trash and pulling it out again like that. I was back in works, just like New Age. So I had to just rest in God. I just had to rest and say, God, if this is a part of the sanctification process, you know, take me through it. And he did. So I did seek out that deliverance prayer and I manifested a Kundalini spirit, which is from yoga. I hadn't done yoga in like, 15 months at that point. Like I said, I had already given up all the yoga. I had given up all the New Age stuff. There were other things I was still struggling with, which by the way, he delivered me from a spirit of addiction. I went home, threw that weed away, haven't touched it since. I actually recently, as I was writing out my testimony, I'm going to share on my own channel because I haven't shared it in so long on my own page. I'm just writing it all out to get the thoughts out. I realized like, wow, I was smoking weed every day for like 7 years and I haven't touched it in over a year and then some change. Like that's only God could do that.
Yeah.
Something that I just could not live without. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, to answer your question, even though I had abstained from the yoga practice for over a year, I did have to go through some deliverance. And there were the Kundalini spirit, you know, because it's like the Bible verse where they always come back with seven more. So they have friends. They, you know, the strong man may have the little man, right? Kind of thing where the Kundalini spirit is like the predominant yoga spirit because a lot of the yoga practice is whether or not you're practicing intentional Kundalini yoga, by the way, it doesn't matter, because the Kundalini spirit is regardless what you want to channel through your spine. The belief is that you have this like Kundalini serpent, but a serpent, imagine that, at the base of your spine. And as you pursue the yoga practice, you awaken the Kundalini spirit and it goes up your spine through your chakras and out through your crown. Sounds like possession. Wow. Absolutely. So I was manifesting that while I was receiving deliverance. Like the way you see in the yoga practice where they're sitting down with their hands on their knees and like contorting their spine, like in a, like a serpentine motion. That's exactly what I was doing. I was hissing. Like, it was insane. It was actual insanity. It's actually really interesting though, because that was the night my husband, who was then my fiance, he witnessed my deliverance in person. And that night he gave his life to the Lord.
Praise God. That's incredible. And that's the thing too, is like half of the people that are, you know, doing yoga and they go to church, they don't even understand how vast the spiritual realm is. Like, we cannot believe in angels and not also believe that demons exist. You can't have one without the other, because that's the whole point of the gospel. Mm. That's why we need Jesus, right? And just to even hear that, that your husband, your now husband, like gave his life to the Lord after seeing that and witnessing that. Cause I remember, like, I grew up in a, I wouldn't say Pentecostal, but it was very like evangelical church, and there was deliverance. And I remember the first time I ever saw that, and I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
and it made me curious. Now, obviously, like, the enemy got a hold of me after that, and I went way down, you know, the pipe. But like, I always had that in the back of my mind, like, the spiritual realm is real, and I knew it was real, but I was just not willing to give up the things that I was wrestling with, because I was convinced that they were better. And so even just hearing your testimony, I've heard so many testimonies of similar things. And I think people just get freaked out by deliverance because they think that it's only that. Deliverance can come in many different ways. Like, for me, I was weeping face down on the floor, and like, it can be tears, it can be shouting, it can be, you know, flailing around. Like, it can be a lot of different things. It
can be a breath.
It's not, right? Yeah. Like, just like Yahweh, like the breath, like in, out. Like, it's, deliverance is a beautiful thing. And I love that you're like, you never know who you can talk about that with. I'm like, girl, if you could ask my husband, he's like, oh, Britt talks about it all the time. Like, they need deliverance, or, you know, like, let me lead you through deliverance. And just with my women's ministry, I started it shortly after giving my life to the Lord, because I started getting visions and I was like, I don't know what this is. But in every vision, it was the same. It was women and gathered in a room with their hands raised in a heart posture of surrender. And so I didn't know what it looked like. I was like, I don't even know how to do this. I've never hosted events of any kind, but I'm just going to step out in faith. We've done 12 events now. And the third one in, I'll never forget, we were at a hotel with like 30, 40 women. And I was in the like conference room setting up, and all the girls were in the courtyard out worshiping with our worship team. And my coordinator runs in, she's like, Britt, you've got to see this. And I run out there, and women are giving their lives to the Lord. I mean, we're talking like 20 minutes in, they're laying, like, getting delivered from yoga and New Age and this and that.
Wow.
And one of the girls that actually got delivered from New Age just recently shared her testimony about it. And I'm so proud of her. But I remember seeing that, like, it was such a full circle moment of like, I knew this was real.
Right.
I knew this was true. I've seen it before. But now here I am, like, as the one that's leading this ministry, and it's happening. And it just gave me such a heart. It does. Like, when you've walked through it, it gives you such a heart for women that are still living in that bondage, because you just want them to taste that freedom that you've experienced. And there's so many things that we could probably talk about. Is there anything that is on your heart that you just want to share before we wrap this up? Because I might even have to have you on again, honestly, because you have so much wisdom in this, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for speaking boldly on it, because there's not enough of that. And, you know, I know that you are leading women to the Lord, and you're leading them to freedom, which, you're leading him to Jesus, who then leads him to freedom, right? But I'm just proud of you because it is. It's not a very popular topic. You're not making any friends. It's very controversial. Like you said, it usually gets us in trouble. Mm-hmm. But for what it's worth, like it's their salvation. It's their soul.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. No, nothing else that I can think of right now. I do think it's important to say back to the beginning, just knowing the love of the Father is the baseline for everything. Just if you're listening to this, watching this, and you're one of those women that you do walk with the Lord and you still have one foot in the world, I just really want to encourage you to just hop over the fence and go all in for him, because he's worth it and he loves you so much. Like, he is obsessed with you. He thinks about you all the time. He thought about you before you were even born, and he is worth this silly little idol. Like, he is worth the sacrifice. He sacrificed it all for you. Like, this is the least that you can do. And you know what's more is that it's not even just for him, as if that's not enough, but it's for you too, because by allowing yourself to really get to know him on that intimate level, you are letting him do a work in you. Stop resisting the work that the Lord wants to do in you by holding on to the things of the world. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit just really coming alive within you by holding on to all the things that grieve him. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Let him consume you. It says our Lord is an all-consuming fire. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. Not, you know, he didn't die for a portion. He died to be your portion. So just let him do that work in you. Just lay it at the foot of the cross. Be humble enough to just rest in him, because as Brittany already said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Like, there is no greater reward that you will find than just the finished work on the cross. You don't have to do anything else except give it to him and trust that he will take it from there, because he always does. I really just pray that anyone listening to this that is still engaged in any sort of New Age modality, I pray that that conviction would just wash over you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to your heart. I pray that you would see in the Word how much God just, it's abominable to him. Witchcraft is abominable to him. And actually, that maybe that's something I didn't mention, is that yoga is witchcraft because it's divination. It might not say the word yoga in the Bible, but it says divination and sorcery. Yoga is a physical divination practice. You cannot divorce that. Your intentions don't make a difference. If your intentions could make a difference, God wouldn't have had to send his son.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Wow. What a way to wrap that up. Thank you so much, Angela.
Yeah.
I know this blessed so many women, and I'm going to leave all of the information. If you guys want to connect with Angela, you have a podcast as well, right?
Yeah. So my podcast is called Heaven and Healing Podcast. It's on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. I do live streams every Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Time. So you can find me over there.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll leave all of this down in the show notes below. Well, thank you so much, Angela. I know this blessed so many women, and I just cannot wait to hear the testimonies that come out of this.
Thank you. It was so fun.
Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.